fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I hope you had a chance to listen to the programs this week. I've been talking about the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. The church gives us these readings this week, as I mentioned earlier in the week, in part to prepare us for where we're going. Remember, we're walking together as a church. Think about it this way. The entire church throughout the world is walking through the same cycle of readings, and it's the church taking us by the hand and shepherding us through the Paschal mystery of Jesus again. Every year, we cycle through the key events in the life of Christ, whether brothers and sisters in China or India or Africa or Eastern Europe, Central Europe, the entire Catholic world is moving liturgically together through the life of Christ. And the church presents to us every day, every single day, some aspect of that journey. And each day feeding us through the sacraments, each day teaching us through the Word of God, and helping us remember the two big things. Who is God and who am I? Who am I called to be? What does it mean for me to be a human being? Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? The church is the place where we find that out. Hollywood tries to deliver those goods, but it doesn't do it. It's a false gospel 99% of the time. Well, maybe not that much, but close to it. And so here we have in these letters to the seven churches an amazing revelation. What's revealed, what's uncovered for us are fundamental truths and things first we're reminded of, but also what God's plan is in his son Jesus Christ and Jesus' responsibility of shepherding each and every church that the God the Father has given to him. He's the King and Lord of all. He's the faithful one with all power and majesty. He's going to fulfill what the Father has called him to do because Jesus makes it clear. And this is something he wants us to see as well. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Truly, truly, I say to you," John 5:19, "the Son can do nothing on his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, that the Son does likewise." Jesus has come to do everything the Father has commanded him to do. He's loving the Father with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so what he's doing in the churches is replicating what's in his own life. He's making each one of us little Christs if we're willing to let him do it. He's making each one of us as disciples, obedient sons and daughters of God, and churches, communities of obedient sons and daughters of God who love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the church reminds us it's very important at the end of the year, at the end of the cycle of the church year, to remember who God is, to remember who made us, who we belong to, who purchased us at the price of his own blood, to remember that every one of us are living in the context of a great drama that's unfolding, that this world ultimately is not our home. We're made for heaven. We're made for God. And the veil that is over us now is going to be lifted at some point when Christ returns, and we're going to see into eternity. We're going to enter into eternity. We're going to enter into eternity either as a friend of God or as an enemy of God. That's really the drama that's unfolding in the world. And so the church is in earnest every day. She's filled with a deep sense of urgency that every one of her children would remember who they are, why they're here, and where they're going. So Jesus addresses a church in this letter now to the angel of the church in Laodicea, this interesting Laodicean church that was quite a successful place. I think many people see in this particular church a lot of the U.S., the kind of the church in the United States and the church in the West. But I'll read it first and go back and touch on some of them. I'm going to have to take up more of it tomorrow. By the way, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the programs this week, I want to encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them on the computer or download them, put them on whatever device works for you to listen to them whenever it's convenient. So here we go. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the source of God's creation. So as in each letter, first it begins with an address first to the angel of the church in Laodicea, number one. Number two, then Jesus identifies himself. He's the Amen. He's the Amen. It's so beautiful. With certainty and power, what is he saying? Amen. He's the one who said amen to the Father in every way. In every way, he was faithful to the Father. That's who he is. This is nature. And he says he's the faithful and true witness. I think it's the second time in the letter that John refers to Jesus as the faithful witness. Earlier in chapter 1, he called Jesus the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. That's who we're dealing with here. And this is why Jesus revealed it to John that way, so everyone would be clear who it is they're dealing with. And this is not just something that John is suggesting. John is being confronted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and the source of God's creation. All things were made by him. All things were made for him. So it's our Creator who's speaking to us right now. He said, I know your works. There are times in my life when I've read that line, it put a bit of a chill in me. Because I know my works too. And there's some works that I've done and I'm committed that I regret, that I wish I never would have done. And I know Christ has forgiven me and he's thrown those in the sea of forgetfulness, and through the sacrament of reconciliation, I've been able to be freed from sins, mortal sins that I committed, the things that I'd done in my life that were difficult to think about. And it makes me think about many people who walk through life every day and really don't think about it very much. And it fills me with compassion, a desire to want to pray for them and reach out to them because they don't know what they don't know. Though, as the scripture is very clear, we are responsible for our life. I'm responsible for my life before God. And I will have to give an account. And it's not okay for me just to kind of slide through life. Literally, at one point, Jesus said, every word, we're going to give an account of every word that comes from your mouth, my mouth, our mouths. You know, it's very sobering. And these letters are meant to be sobering. Help us to get real and to remember what's really going on. I know your works. I know that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I'm rich and affluent and I have no need of anything. And yet do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments to put on so that your shameful nakedness may not be exposed, and buy ointment to smear on your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and I chastise. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will enter his house and I'll dine with him, and he with me. I will give the victor the right to sit with me on my throne, as I myself first won the victory, and sit with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears ought to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Friends, wherever you are right now, whatever you're doing, whatever you're focused on, you're hearing this program today for a reason. The Lord wants you to remember who you are, what you're called to, and he wants you to think about this letter to Laodicea and where he wants us to go. He's examining where they are now, but he's calling them to change where they are so that they can inherit what belongs to him. This beautiful image of sitting on the throne with Jesus Christ. And he says, as I myself first won the victory and sit with my Father on this throne. Mary's son, Jesus of Nazareth, is talking to you and he's saying, look, I won the victory. I'm sitting on my Father's throne. And if you persevere, if you take my words to heart, you're going to sit on the throne with me. That's what I'm waiting for. That's what I'm trying to bring about in your life. But if you're distracted and you're not paying attention to me, if you're being seduced by the world, if you're filled with the anxieties of this world, you're going to miss the point of your life. And it's not just the oops on this side. It could be an eternal separation from God. It's a real issue. So let's look at this a little bit more closely. The city of Laodicea was known for its It's manufacturing of clothing and garments. It's a medical school that created a kind of salve for your eyes so they could see. It's a big banking center. So these are the things that Jesus is going after. He's saying, in and of themselves, are they wrong? That's not his point. His point is saying, the church has lost its white-hot passion for Christ, love for him and for his church and the work of the kingdom of God. Remember what Jesus, he gave to all the apostles, the prayer that's been passed on to us, the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A lukewarm church, like he's describing here, loses the zeal to honor the name of God the Father. How do we see it? Well, his name is profaned all the time in the society, in the culture, and even in the church, for people in the church. We refuse to go to church. So many people stop going to church. It's a profound dishonoring of the holy God. So Jesus said, if you're an apostle, if you're my disciple, this is what I want you to pray about. Stop praying about, you know, getting the vacation you want, or I know it's okay to pray for anything, friends, but when we come into God's presence too often, we come and express to him what we want, which is okay to do. But what he's trying to tell us is, wait a minute, in the Lord's Prayer, remember who you are. Here's how I want you to pray. This is what makes sense for you. Don't get distracted on things that honestly don't matter that much. Lord, can I get that house? I want that house. I want that car. We want that vacation home, Lord. We got to get it. If you have my heart, you're going to pray first, Jesus said, that my Father's name would be hallowed. That would be the first concern. Is God the Father being honored in my life, in my home, and how I carry myself in my work? Am I honoring the name of God? Number two, said, pray that thy kingdom would come, that the reign of the King, King Jesus, would enter my heart, my home, my workplace, every place I would go. I would bring the kingdom by living it, by walking in it, by being strengthened by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit who accompanies me and strengthens me. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Remember what Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. It's my very sustenance. And it ought to be the sustenance of every disciple. So a disciple, one who's really walking the footsteps of Jesus, is white hot with passion for God and for his kingdom. And so Jesus, who lived that way himself, and then demonstrated it on the cross to save us, he went all out, all in, completely surrendered, completely focused on what would bring about God's honor and our salvation. And then he's pointing to us and he's saying, you're lukewarm. Is that how you respond? Is that how you respond to my offering? Who told you you could live that way? And the word here, used in the scripture, means he spits you out of his mouth, those who are lukewarm. Literally means he vomited them out of his mouth. He can't bear it because the love of God demands and really calls forth genuine love. Just touching on this today, I want to pick this very same church up tomorrow. I hope you can join me. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.